Amen. You may be seated. Let us move forward into our continuum of discourse. Take out your document. Everyone should have. Not, there's some in the back. Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions of measures. The matrix. Let's go to page 30, in the middle of the page. For those that are watching and listening through our internet mediums, if you look in either the video webcam section or the audio, you will see an icon and you can click on it and this entire document comes up. We're on page 30, second paragraph in the middle. I know we've been there for a while. And you know what? I'm not in a hurry. I think what was in a Sunday school this morning, was talking about, you know, how fast we're moving through it, or how slow I should say we're moving through it. We used to go into page 8, and you don't understand page 7.
Right.
I mean, what good is that? You know, it used to annoy me when we had teachers that would. Their aim would be to cover the material, mm-hmm. And then an entire semester goes by, mm-hmm. and at least half the class is not with them. Mm-hmm. What have you accomplished? Well, I covered the material. Amen. No, we're going to take our time, mm-hmm. and this document has 6 parts to it, and then part one is some 60 pages long, which means we're only halfway through part one. I'm not even worried about it. No. What's before you needs to be comprehended, mm-hmm. and understand. Because life out here, it will take you on a roller coaster ride. And you will be the most miserable sum. When through this knowledge,
right.
You can be the most joyful one.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
And it all comes with comprehension and understanding. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. That's in this document there. It's the fault of the typist. That would be me. It says 8 and 6, 8 and 5. Just read that. In addition to that, Romans 8 and 5, we are going to look at 1 Corinthians, focus that is on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. I think we were dealing with that a little bit in our Wednesday Bible study. All right, everyone has Romans chapter 8, verse 5, amen? All right, Elder, why don't you start? Well, that clock always beats me up, but start around verse 3 there, in that 8th chapter of Romans. Now, you know, if you don't get into the sphere of spirituality. Just give you a preview of where we're going. And be able to assimilate the difference between spirituality and physicality, you will not be able to follow these writings. And I look at some of the commentaries. This context in here is one of the most understood of all of Paul's writings. He's talking about 2 spheres. One is spiritual, the other one is physical, fleshly. And throughout Christendom, there's confusion as to who the spiritual man is.
Amen.
You know, I did a little cartoon in. I hope y'all, you know, didn't mind that, like that. And it's like, you know, we think that the spiritual man is the physical man reformed. Completely different entity. When you said the spiritual man, you are completely discounting physicality of the flesh. When you said the spiritual man, he is the one who was placed in Christ in eternity before there was any physicality. That's who you actually are. The physical man is, that's this fellow that gives us so much trouble. Who, for a short period of time, in the matrix, is there in the pictures for testimonial purposes only. He's here, he's in the matrix for some maybe live 100 years. It's not long. 1,200 months. Right? Yes. 36,500 and some days. And we could break it down into the hours. And the numbers might seem large. But what is that in comparison to forever? Someone said, how long is eternity? I said, long? It is. Has been. Forever will be. And there are no increments. All right. Everyone again got Romans chapter 8 verse 5. We're going to start at verse 3. Say amen. All right, Elder. Read.
Romans chapter 8 beginning with the third verse. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh.
Okay, so that basically what he is saying is that the problem of sin is confined to the flesh, to the physical man. And then when the physical man comes to his end, the problem of sin is gone. Because it initiated in the physical man and it is consummated in the physical man. And he says this in answer to the question basically that is a query that is posed as close out chapter 7. He was talking about, you know, man, things I would do, I should do, I don't. The things that I shouldn't do, I do. He said, man, who's gonna deliver me from this? But he answers that in verse 7. He said, with the physical man, I serve sin. With the spiritual man, I serve God. So once the physical man is removed, what is left? What was first? What were you first? The spiritual man. He was placed up Ephesians 1 and 4 according as he did what?
Chose us in him.
When?
Before.
Before the foundation. What does before the creation of the physical world mean? What does that mean? I was expressing that to someone one time and he said, that's not what that means. And I said, okay, well, then tell me what it he said, I don't know, but it doesn't mean that.
Glory to God.
saying that because we are presently in time and physicality, we resonate with physical things. And this is where we're going basically this morning. All right, verse 4.
That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us.
Stop. See, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. What us is he talking about? The spiritual man. How is the righteousness of the law, of the righteousness that belongs to Christ, fulfilling us? In the fact that we were placed in him. He's the head. We are components, we are body members. And everything that is contributed to the head, the body receives. My God, the body receives. We're benefactors of who Christ is. So that's what he's talking about. When he says us, he's talking about the spiritual man. But we get all mixed up, and we even have songs. I looked at my hand; my hands were new. My feet, no. Those pigeon toes are the same as they were before you did whatever you thought you did. No, he is speaking of the essence of you identifying with who you are. You are more who you are in the body of Christ. And you are in this flesh, in the body of Christ. That's you forever. In the flesh, that's temporary. What's temporary means?
Not long.
What does temporary mean?
Not long.
Huh? Not long. Quick.
Glory to God.
That is in comparison.
Thank God.
Time is but a drop. Oh, in the ocean. Compared to eternity.
That's right.
All right. Read.
Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit.
Stop. Who is he talking about? The spiritual man. He couldn't possibly be talking about me in this bad boy.
That's right. Amen.
It is the spirit man who lives according to the spirit and not according to the flesh. Because the fleshly man, he does what? He lives according to the flesh. We're going to see in the next verse there. And if you don't understand this, it'll look like it will seem as though Paul is double talking. Maybe he's high on something when he's writing. No. You must understand this. And when I look at some of the commentaries, I tear my hair out sometimes. When I say, no. Separate who you are in Christ from who you are in the flesh.
Glory to God. Amen.
Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit.
Now let's go to the Greek. Here, and we're going to do a little bit of exegesis this morning, and to actually outlay this thing and know what's what in life. That's the difference between joy and peace.
That's right.
Versus constantly being in turmoil
and
confusion. When you know what's happening. And when you see right through the processes at God's purpose.
Right.
It's not the processes that we rely upon. It is God's purpose.
Right.
So we never ask, what is this? What do we ask?
What is this for?
What is this? What's the purpose? What God is doing with it. Not, Lord, what am I going to do with this? There's nothing that you can do.
That's it.
Because it is what? according to Colossians 1:16, all things were created what? Through him and for him. Let's do that again. In him, through him, for him. One more time. In him, through him, for him. Now, what does it say anything about me or you? We're so busy prioritizing what we think we're doing that most aren't stopping to take time to look to see what God is doing.
Amen.
And what God is doing is the doing. So the thing that's according to the flesh is the flesh. Read that from the Greek text.
Romans 8, verse 5.
Okay, now for those maybe watching or listening, amen, the Greek interlineal, it has the Greek and then has the English word right beneath it. And at least when you read that, his feet are held closer to the fire. Because if he goes off the record, he's got to put some type of mark or something. But then sometimes he doesn't do it. So after we get through with this, then we exegete.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We go to the corpus, the same corpus all of the scholars use.
Mm-hmm.
And we dig out and let the word literally convey what it conveys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We have confidence that God knows what he's talking about.
Amen.
And he doesn't need our help. And if it seems off the chart, we are not worried because the essence of being, or ontologism, is in the same. It's in eternality. It's in spirituality. And if it transcends physicality, it doesn't belong or fit. All right, read.
Romans 8, 5, in the interlinear Greek.
Mm-hmm.
For the according to flesh, being the things of the flesh, mine, but the according to spirit, the things of the spirit.
So here he breaks this down, and of course in verse 6 he says, to be carnally minded, that is the physicality, leads to separation and termination. But the spirituality, this is where you get the peace.
Amen.
And so you have two spheres here. You have that which is spiritual, that which is physical. That which is physical is what we see, touch, taste, and daily connect with. That which is spiritual is the essence of what has existed from eternity. What is spiritual is what God has said. What is physical is what we see. And of course we stick, according to the scriptures, to our aphorism. Repeat after me. Is not in the seeing.
It is in God's saying.
That's where the action really is. Because sometimes we see different things. That was an accident that happened a few days ago, involving a cab and another car, and a child was killed, and some of the witnesses said that the cab hit the child first and then the car, and then other witnesses said that the child got out of the cab and the car hit the child. So you can have witnesses that are looking at the same thing, and depending upon the angle or some other factors, they'll come up with different testimonies. so he can't depend upon the seen.
Right.
And this is why in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we instructed that we are not prioritizing or considering assessing the seen.
Mm-hmm.
But the what? Things not being seen, because the things that are seen, what? And the things that is the physicality, and the things not seen are what?
Eternal.
So to know it's something else, you're looking through eternal lens, and the only way to do that is through God's word.
That's right.
The same.
That's right.
Everybody say it's in the same.
It's in the same.
Not the same.
Not the same. Amen.
Also, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to focus here on verse 13. You know, I marvel sometimes when I look at Corinthians. Here Paul is writing to what I would call, testimony-wise, the most common of all his churches. Yet there's some very deep things in there. Very deep things. Yeah, he had to deal with the nonsense. But in dealing with it, we have revelations of many of the mysteries that comprise revelations in the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
Now in chapter 2, he starts out by saying, now I'm not coming to you with all of these excellencies of speech, of terminology, of things that are in man's wisdom, but strictly the testimony of God, which would focus exclusively in the eternal spiritual realm.
Glory.
And he said, when I come among you, I don't want to know about the nonsense. It's not about anything. I'm mad at you, you're mad at me, you did this, you did that. And you know what? In eternity, that won't even matter.
It won't matter.
Which means it really never did matter.
That's right.
See, so except Jesus Christ and the fact that he was crucified for you, that I don't want to even hear all of that other nonsense. This is what he was saying. He said, I was with you in fear and weakness in verse 3 and in 4. He said, my preaching was not within the enticing words or speech proclamation. It's not in pervasive persuasiveness of human wisdom. I didn't come to you conveying things in the physical sense of what they are. Oh yeah, we dwell in processes. Because some of now will come and say, oh, you're going to be so spiritual, you're going to be so heavenly bound, you know, earthly good. My friend, if you are not into the heavenliness in Christ, not only are you no heavenly good, you are no earthly good either. Because what's reflected there, the source of it, is the essence of God's word. And you have the light that shines forth into the darkness, and the darkness cannot apprehend it. And the testimony there, as it is gauged in spirituality, conveys eternal enlightenment.
Yes.
Now, do we live in the processes of time? Yes, we do. Somebody said, but then, you know, if you're going to be all into the heavenly thing, then why are you operating in time at all? Why are you, you know? Every one of you this morning, you got up, you used the mirror for something, didn't you? But the mirror is on a reflection. And you know that the mirror is not the real you, right?
That's it.
Why did you use the mirror? Because there's some things about me I can't see. So I need to use the mirror, and hopefully the mirror is not deformed so much that I can't get the real deal.
Right.
For instance, you have never seen your face, have you?
No.
I'm talking about your face. You would have to take your eyes out and project them and turn them around, and then that wouldn't be your face because the eyes would be missing. You can't see your back. You got to look in the mirror to. You've seen your hand, but very few objects. You know, I mean, you've seen your knees and your feet, so forth, like that. So you've never seen your back. I mean, you break your neck trying to. So the mirror does have some use, and let me say this: a mirror is not an object of admiration. You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest one? No. You get in the mirror, and as soon as it is fulfilled its usefulness of reflection, amen. And hope you picked up the right image, then you get out of the mirror. No one of us should ever fall in love with the reflection in the mirror. Mm-hmm. All of this is nothing but what? Mm-hmm. Flesh.
That's
right. But it is useful for that purpose. So in life, we operate in the processes. But as we learn this, when we really want to get down to the essence of what is, we're not looking at the process, we're looking at the purpose.
That's right.
What is God's use for this?
That's right.
I lost my job.
Mm-hmm.
What is God's use for it?
Amen.
But beyond that, what transcends that, going back to what we said previously, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Most of God's people, we don't know who we are. Well, I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a pastor, I'm a deacon, I'm Joe Diploma. Or whoever. That's not you. It is in reflection who you are in the matrix, in what we call life,
Temporary.
Who are you? You're a member of the body of Christ. This is why Paul said, my life is what? Christ. Your life is Christ. Your life is a That's the hardest thing for us to comprehend. This is what he's trying to convey here. That in the flesh, in physicality, is about physicality, but your prioritized consideration is about the essence of who you are. Now, so as we are in this second chapter of Corinthians, and we move down through, he talks about all of many things in verse 9. He speaks to the end that
We have not been privileged to receive these things except through previous arrangement of God having given us enlightenment. And so he said, the physical eye hasn't seen, the physical ear hasn't heard, neither has it entered into physicality of the heart of those things that God have been what? Prepared for us. But then he said, but he has what? Revealed them to who?
Us.
What is he talking about? The spiritual man. Knowledge and comprehension and understanding. You must come to appreciate God if he has prearranged for you to comprehend the understanding of who he is and who you are in him. Without him, you're nothing. I'm nothing. In him, we're
everything.
Because we are who we are according to who he is. And if he is everything, then as a component of him,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh,
and I see egos and ministries and I say, no, what are they so excited about? Well, I've done this over, and Paul writes to these same Corinthians, I think with these Corinthians, he said, if you got a gift, what are you all boastful about? Now, someone comes and gives you a gift. And you say, look what I got. Where'd you get it from? Well, it was given to me. What you bragging about?
That's true.
You see, you're acting as though it's not a gift.
That's right.
Now, if you're going to do it and boast in, you boast in the gift. Give all y'all don't hear me this morning.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Help us to know that we are nothing but puny, frail, depraved creatures in these bodies.
Amen.
So that our focus would be on the spiritual man.
Yes, Lord.
In essence, who we are in Christ as body members, and no one ever identifies a body member with a name. That is a proper name. This is a hand. But it doesn't have a proper name. This is a nose, but it doesn't have a proper name. Now, when you look at the essence of the body, it is the head that identifies, oh my God, hallelujah, the entity. And there is only one head to this body, and that is Christ. Oh my God. Isn't he marvelous? Isn't he great? Give him a praise. Oh, hallelujah. Then he goes on down through verse 9 and then verse 11 and says, no man knows the things. Now listen to this, because many of the commentators get this wrong. Read that from the Greek. We'll skip the King James on that. Verse 11.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 11. For who knows of men the things of a man,
mm-hmm,
except the spirit of a man?
Mm-hmm.
In him.
In the man. All right, read.
So also the things of God no one has known except the Spirit of God.
Except the Spirit of God. Now basically, let me break this down. First of all, in physicality. I know what I'm thinking, but you don't know what I'm thinking unless I tell you. And sometimes that protects us, because someone comes up and says, how do you like this, what I've got on? And you say, well, it's presentable. And in your mind you're saying, that's a break. But they don't get that part, do they? Say, give me a break. So that protects us. I know what I'm thinking, but you don't know what I'm thinking. That's in a physical sense. Now, when you get to the spiritual man, as it relates to the spirit that is in us, the only one who knows what the spiritual man should receive is the Holy Spirit. For me to receive something spiritual, I don't have the capacity. Just like I can't figure out what you're thinking. Unless you say it. So the only one who knows what the Spirit is thinking or saying is he who is the Holy Spirit, and that is God. A Christ. And he must convey to us what the Spirit is thinking. So to pick up anything spirit, the Holy Spirit has to witness to your spirit. And that's an individual thing. That's why two people can be sitting there, one person rejoicing when they hear the word, the other person say, hey, that preacher's crazy.
That's it. Come on, pal. They will. Bring it out.
And that's because in the case of the one that received it, if it's the Holy Spirit, who's the teacher?
The
Holy Spirit. He is conveyed to that person's spirit.
That's it. Amen. Yeah.
And he didn't, for his purposes, for God's purposes, he didn't convey, both of them saved.
Come on, pal.
Sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. To one, they receive it according to God's purpose. To the other, according to God's purpose. And this is what this is conveying. So I said to the preachers in our ministering session, said, don't ever think that it is your skill causes anyone to believe. We are to minister it and convey it, and then it is the Holy Spirit's province as to who receives it. You preach it, you publish it, you teach it. The Holy Spirit is the actual teacher. And so if you understand something, now don't be saying no. I thank God for those that appreciate me, but he said, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And this is what this is conveying. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, must convey to you the things of God.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed.
And really, that's really how you know that you're really progressing and growing. You know, we did talk about the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, and some, you know, basically, you know, said the Holy Ghost has come to do this, that, and the other, so forth and so on, and which is plainly outlined the Holy Spirit role. It's communication. To give enlightenment.
That's right.
And illumination and elucidation.
That's right. Amen.
So now when you get down to verse 12, why don't you read that too?
Verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
And we, not the spirit of the world, receive, but the spirit from God, in order that we may know the things by God freely given to us.
You see that we have the Greek word there, ithome. We translate here, we made know. What is that, Brother Deacon? Aorist subjunctive. Aorist subjunctive. What's the just subjunctive mood again?
Probability.
What's the aorist tense?
Past completed.
Completed action. So you have a completed probability there. How can you have a completed probability? What is prearranged? In other words, this is verifying what we've said here in relationship to the antecedent verse there, that it is the, we have not received the spirit of the world or the spirit that operates in you, but we have received the spirit of God, because he's the only one that knows about God. And it is prearranged for whom he communicates with in that vein, for God's purpose. Again, we're not talking about, if you don't know this, you're not saved. But I got accused of that one time. Never heard me say that. It is for purpose. Some will know, others won't. I'm talking about saved folk. For God's purpose. All right, let's go to 13. Oh, look at that clock. It just beats me up every... All right, God, one of these Sundays, you ought to let me have about 2 or 3 hours. Look at that look. I'm just kidding. I'm very cautious of the time. Read.
Verse 13.
Read from first of King James.
Oh, King James, okay. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, King James. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Now see, there's a problem here, and let's go to the Greek text here. You see, sometimes in translations, as in this verse, if you take an adjective and you express it as a verb, what is an adjective? It's a word that describes something. What is a verb? It's an action word. So if you take that which is in grammar a description and you utilize it as an action, you distort the utterance. And that's what happens here. Now, we don't have time this morning, and I guess we'll take up here next week. But the Greek, have you read that from the Greek yet?
No, I haven't.
All right, read it from the Greek. Follow along. Amen.
Verse 13, into the Greek. Which things also we speak, not in taught of human wisdom words, but in taught of spirit, with spiritual things comparing.
Now he still sort of put that connotation in there of a verb when he says taught. That's not a verb. That's an adjective. Isn't it? What is he giving description of? Now, before we do that, oh God, we're going to run about 3 or 4 minutes over this morning. I can't leave you hanging like the chapter pictures. Not today. Just follow along here. We're going to be timely. When you look at this verse, you see this word here, this pastis,
which actually basically the full working word there is tistaskelios, which is what? Teaching.
Teaching.
Yes.
Teaching.
Yes. Brother Deacon, as you look at that, you got your Greek lexicon out there. Mm-hmm. Is that singular or plural? Talk. Okay. It's plural. So he's not talking about teaching. He's saying teachings in the sense of describing something. Because it's followed in the former case, and I'm going to just have to explain this and I'll come back to it, break it down, by the genitive of possession there. In the first case, it is teaching that belong to human thinking. The second one is teaching that belong to the Holy Spirit. Got two teachings here now. The things of the Holy Spirit in the latter, in the former you have the things of humanity, of human. In other words, you have the unseen in the latter case, you have the seen in the first case. The unseen has to be communicated to you by the Holy Spirit. Because the unseen is defined as the seen. God's seen. Versus physicality, which is what we see. And as he finishes this, read just that last phrase there. Did we get to the Greek on that?
Yeah,
okay. Finish that up in the Greek.
13.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which things also we speak, not in talk of human wisdom words, but in taught of spirit with spiritual things comparing.
Okay, we're in here. And I'm going to do a little bit of exegesis here, and don't bother to go crazy on me. I mean, you know, I can't stand here and begin to try to convey to you something until we get the utterance. You walk up in the middle of a conversation and you hear one sentence, what you thought you heard, and you started rattling off, and the people that been there and been there a while and know the entire context of the eternity. That's not what we're talking about. And that's what happens in these translations. As they move to these commentaries, and let me say this to all ministers, studying is not reading commentaries. In other words, I'm going to study Scripture, I get my Bible out, then I get a Matthew Henry, I get a but some of those are pretty good and decent and so forth. And so on. And I've got commentaries upstairs in my office. But that's you know, whatever I read, and that's what that was me that was me 35 years ago. Thank God for a wise pastor, sitting under Pastor Colbert, and finally he got to the point. He said, "Man, you leave those books in the store. Get rid of them." You guys could have said that. Exegete.
Yes.
The threefold methods are what?
Historical.
What? Historical what?
Textual.
Contextual what?
And grammatical.
And if you can get the
then you got a pretty good idea that you on target.
Amen.
Here it reads. Give me 5 minutes here. I'm gonna just bail out. This is where we'll start next week. It reads. Oh my God. Pneumatikis. Pneumatica. Secrins. Nundes. Hear what he is saying is. The first one he is. Both of those words now means spiritual. The first one is the essence of what it is. The second is the communication of what it is. Two words, spiritual. One is the essence, the other one is explaining what it is. One is what it is, the other one is explaining what it is. Or the explanation of what it is. And then it has the verb here that means interpreting in relationship to knowing what it is. Many of the translations said comparing. I don't have no problem with that. Here's where we are. Here's what he's saying. To know what spiritual things are, you must receive the communication spiritually. And that's the problem, you know, we're going through the Bible study. We're going through it. This is what got the science messed up. You know what? You can't even explain physicality with physicality. And so, well, how did this happen? Well, because of this, and so and I'm like, no, all right. Then, so why did it happen? Because of this, and they're not going to say God.
No.
Well, let's throw that into another universe. The only way to get the answers and the understanding is that you receive communication spiritually. You need to grasp the meaning of physicality through spirituality, and you sure need spirituality to understand the things of God spiritual.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
That's the essence. And actually, when the church comes together, that should be the task. We do many things, and I'm not saying that some of them are not good. Somebody go off the track with me here. But primarily in predominantly on a prioritized basis. We come together. It's not to know what you think. Follow me now, everybody. It's not to know what I... Because sometimes somebody says, well, what do you think? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. Somebody asked me about a social issue that's predominantly in the news now. And said, well, I said, it doesn't matter what I think. What we should be looking at is what does the Word of God, rightly divided, teach? Because that's what it is. Now we spent this morning about an hour. And there are some issues that are happening in the world. And I guess if you sat in many congregations this morning, you heard a lot about it. I mean, we didn't talk about any of that, did we? No. So, well, you say it's not important enough. Up to a certain degree, as it
deals with processes of life.
Yes.
Yes, but that thing has limitations to it.
It does. That's right.
Like what was important in Romans, in Rome in 2,000 years ago before then, B.C., that was important to them.
Mm-hmm.
What about now?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You know why? Because it has passed.
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about what's happening in Washington and the RS and what happened in God, and we could talk about what happened in Benghazi, and we could talk about what you know the issues of what North Korea is going to do and so forth. So we could talk about the social issues locally here. You know, the city is broke and the state and this and that and the other and so forth and so on. And then you could sit here and you could talk yourself into a worry fest. The economy. When we come together, why are we talking about that? Why are we talking about how we're going to get out of this mess? Why are we talking about making plans to escape from all the perils that are around us? You know why? Because we came here this morning to talk about the fact that we already delivered.
Hallelujah.
That all of these problems were solved before they ever surfaced.
Yeah, that's it. Glory to Jesus.
Why are we here? To know that He who is in you is greater. Can you say greater? Can you say greater? He's greater than He who is in the world. All the things around you are complete,
yes, sir,
in Him.
Yes, sir.
And so now when we sing the song, we can sing in joy and understanding. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I give my trust the strongest of the sweetest frame. But holy, can you say holy? Can you say holy? Completely live on Jesus' name. Oh Christ, can you say Christ? Can you say Christ? The solid rock I stand. Oh, can you say all? Can you say all? All of the ground. It's so shaky. It doesn't bear me standing up in an hour talking about it. God bless you.